Hey guys, I am sitting in my car right now and it's raining, and I kind of figured it was, I guess it sounded too good for me to pass up the opportunity to record. And when I decided, like the moment that I decided to take out my mic from my purse, because I've started carrying it around like a pretentious YouTuber, the moment that I decided to start recording, it was because it had been thundering, and now that I've pressed record, it stopped. And it sounds like the drizzle is letting up. I think it'll come back, though. Just looking at the sky, I don't know, it doesn't look like the sky is done for today. I don't know, I don't really have too much to talk about, which is why I wasn't like planning on recording anything, but the sky convinced me to do it. Let's see. I've been going out a lot more lately by myself, and I think that's a really good thing for me. I think I've been very conflicted the past few months, maybe even the past few years, on feeling like I was an introvert while also kind of feeling like I was going crazy if I stayed home for too long. And I think probably a lot of introverts struggle with that, and the solution is so simple, but I don't think enough people do it. It's just going out by yourself to do a thing by yourself. It's a very underrated thing. underrated, undervalued, underdone, underutilized option, I guess. I've been going to the library sometimes, or sometimes I go to a bookstore nearby where I live and kind of browse the books. And also I go to walking trails, or I go to my university's campus, even though I'm not currently enrolled because it is summer. I still just go to campus and I'll chill. I'll usually read. I mean, I'll bring my book, but I will have no other reason to be there than to just be there and enjoy my time, go on a walk, go on a stroll. Sometimes I'll listen to podcasts, and it's really, really, really nice. Probably my favorite podcast right now is called Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, and it takes Harry Potter and the two hosts go through each chapter. And so, like, every episode is one chapter, starting with the first chapter of the first book, and they interpret Harry Potter as if it's a holy book, which is really, really interesting, and it feels very cozy to me, and I like the style of the entire thing. Actually, the discussion that I had with Jiggy Wiggy ASMR on loneliness, and the one that we had on his channel about childhood vacation memories, I was kind of inspired by Harry Potter and the Sacred Text to record with Jiggy, because the two hosts are very much just having a discussion, you know, and podcasting it, and obviously their discussion is much more thought out than anything that Jiggy and I did, but I don't know, I really liked how conversational and chill and kind of quiet and contemplative it was, and I wanted to try my hand at that. And so I did, and it was really fun. The sky is really pretty. It's around sunset. A little bit early for sunset, but the sun will probably be going down within the next hour or so. And the clouds are nice and low and gray and rainy. It looks like a big blanket of like loose wool, like it hasn't been woven yet. Just sheets and sheets of wool on the sky. And then sort of more towards the horizon, the light breaks through. That's what it looks like. The book that I'm reading right now is All the Light We Cannot See. I talked about that in my was not my most recent ASMR video. I think it was the one before my most recent one. But I just talked about it in the book ASMR video, the most recent book one. And I've gotten a lot farther in it, and oh my gosh, it is so good. It is so beautifully written. It feels so put together, like a perfect little puzzle. All these, different people in Europe during World War II, all their stories intertwining just right to make something really magical happen. And I don't know when the thing is gonna happen, and I can't talk about the thing without spoiling it, but oh, the suspense is just building so much, and I can't wait for the book to get where it's going. I really like the way the book is organized as well. It's kind of split in chapters, and its chapters are split up into larger sections, or maybe I should say that the other way around. There's really, really long chapters, and all the chapters have little tiny sections within them where the perspective changes. So the book starts off in 1944, and there's a few, I think, four different perspectives that are introduced. Either three or four. Yeah, not four, I think three. Three different perspectives that are introduced, and so you kind of get a feel for these characters, and then it jumps back to the beginning of World War II, or actually even a little bit before that. The childhoods of the characters that we were introduced to in the first chapter, and it goes through, their beginnings, and each little section is, I mean, only like usually 3, maybe 4 pages, sometimes just 2 pages. And you'll switch perspectives a few times, like a few good times, before there's another time jump back to 1944, and then you go through the perspectives again, and then you jump back to wherever the war left off in the more past, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense. It's hard to talk about things in such vague terms. Speaking of talking about things in such vague terms, if you guys don't mind the departure from happy rambles, or not happy, but I guess quiet, chill, easy rambles into something a little bit more controversial. The vegan side of YouTube has been blowing up lately. There was a really good, I don't even want to call it a debate, it was more of a discussion that I watched this morning, and it was a vegetarian and 2 non-vegetarians just kind of talking about veganism from a moral, ethical, kind of philosophical standpoint, talking about like whether or not their diets were justified. And I thought it was really interesting that all three of them, even though none of them were vegan, decided to have that conversation, and I'm glad that they did, and they brought up some really interesting, cool points that I was glad to hear brought up. But at the same time, I do kind of wish a vegan was there to be able to offer another important perspective in that debate. But I think it's really cool that they didn't have a vegan. Like I'm very happy that people can talk so openly and so candidly about veganism whenever they're not being kind of forced to come to terms with like cognitive dissonance by a vegan, because that feels very aggressive, and I understand that. So it was cool to watch them just have a discussion about it. And then also, I don't know if she pronounces her name or her channel name Kalel or Kalel or I don't know, but she's a YouTuber who has a whole bunch of subscribers, and like one or two million. It's either, I remember thinking in my head either, wow, she has 1 or 2 million subscribers, or I was thinking she has 1.2 million subscribers. I don't know. Either way, she has a lot of subscribers. I think she's like a beauty lifestyle person, and for a long time she was supposedly vegan, and then she came out in a video and said that she's not a perfect vegan, because maybe she'll have like a few candy bars a year. She has popcorn at the movie theater, and she's bought some leather shoes. And I think there were a few other examples of like things that she specifically has done, but how she still wants to call herself, or how she still does, or how she still did at the time of recording and uploading that video, call herself vegan. And she justified that by saying that, you know, compared to someone who's just vegetarian, or compared to someone who's not even vegetarian, how, like, she's doing so much more for the vegan movement than they are, how she still, you know, agrees with the morals behind veganism. So, regardless of these few small times whenever she wasn't vegan, she should still have a right to call herself that. And obviously the vegan side of YouTube that's like actually vegan went pretty ham on her, and they were like, wait, no, that's not how it works. Yes, none of us are perfect, but, we are vegan, and she's okay. I think that the difference that no one has put into words yet, at least the videos that I've watched of like responses to this, responses to Kalel or Kalel's video, everyone's kind of just being mad at her and telling her that she can't call herself vegan. Or some YouTubers are saying, yeah, I mean, she's kind of right. There's no such thing as a perfect vegan, and we're all on our own journey. And my opinion, which I think is an opinion shared by most vegans, but it hasn't been said in words that I think are good words, so I'm gonna try to say it in good words, is that there's a difference between being an imperfect vegan by accident and being an imperfect vegan on purpose. In a tweet way after Kalel came out with her, with this like vegan, not really vegan video, she said, like, you know, I'm mostly vegan, I consume maybe 1 tablespoon of dairy a year, but like for me personally, say if I sleepy consumed 1 tablespoon of dairy per year, which isn't completely out of the realm of possibility, because I don't know, maybe cross-contamination with my roommates, maybe some of the things that I bought at the store that may contain trace amounts of dairy. Well, those things would never amount up to an entire tablespoon, but let's just pretend like somehow a tablespoon of milk got in my system over this whole past year. There's a difference between that getting in my system and me still calling myself vegan, and her deciding to put butter on her popcorn just this once to have fun at the movies, or to have these 4 or 5 candy bars throughout the year just because she deserves it for being so vegan for the rest of the year. You know, like there's a really big difference there. And like, at the end of the day, no matter how vegan she acts, outside of those few instances of not being vegan, whenever she isn't vegan, she's actively choosing to not be vegan. You know, it's like the difference between the vegan who, like, hypothetically gets stranded on an island and somehow has the means to kill a lion, and also there's no vegetation anywhere on the island, so, like, the vegan has literally no choice but to kill the lion. They can still call themselves vegan once they're rescued and they go back to wherever they live and they resume their vegan lifestyle. They can still call themselves vegan. But if you are in Walmart and you've been vegan for however many years and you know how to buy your groceries like a vegan, and you look at a candy bar and you say, "Ooh, I've been so good at being vegan, let me just have this just this once. Or just this 4 times a year, 5 times a year. That is not vegan. And I honestly don't think that she should be calling herself vegan. And I don't think she is anymore, which I'm glad about. She doesn't say that it's because she's been convinced that she's kind of faulty in her views, though. She says that she kind of doesn't want to be associated with vegans anymore because of all the backlash that she's been getting, and, like, wow, vegans are terrible people. I don't want to be one anymore. So, you know, in her head, she didn't get fired. She quit. Right? Whereas everyone else is kind of like, oof, she's a non-vegan. And we said it before she did. I mean, I didn't say it. I hope I don't get... I mean, I was about to say that I hope I don't get too many, like, mean comments because of this, because I'm talking about veganism and my opinions, but I also don't care that much because I am vegan, and I do stand for, stopping animal cruelty and animal agriculture in general, so there's that. What else has been happening that I can ramble about during this lovely drizzle? I think it thundered a few times. If you have the Shire, like the song The Shire from the Lord of the Rings soundtrack, and you play it anywhere that you drive, all of a sudden you feel like you're in a movie, and you feel like wherever you're driving is home. It has such an emotional effect, at least for me. I don't know. Every time I drive around and the Shire comes on, I'm like, oh, now this place, it feels like home to me. I think another reason I've been going out on solo adventures so much lately is just because, even though I'm really, really glad to finally have roommates that are my friends, it does get exhausting for me to be in such close proximity with people who I actually get along with for so long. Like, I just feel like my door kind of is always open to them, and I like that, and I like that their door is kind of always open for me. But at the same time, I like having a space where I know no one is going to interrupt me, and for me, that's on walks, or in the library, or wherever. I find a lot of comfort in solitude, but I also find a lot of comfort in being out, and feeling like I am, exploring the world, and not just in my own head, because there's a difference between being in solitude and being in your own head. You know, I think there's an important difference. Anyway, I think that's where I'm gonna end this recording. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. And I hope that you have a wonderful night. Okay, bye-bye.